Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We have a great show lined up. We're going to have a special guest from Sports Illustrated joining us via the phone lines about halfway through the program. Talk about a big trade rumor in the NBA and also recap the NBA draft and talk about LeBron James mania. But for most of the program tonight, we're going to be talking about a big local event, not just a sports event, but a huge event that's going to be taking place next weekend after July 4th. And let's get to the introductions to talk and hear more about it from right to left across your screen. We have co-host and senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Groller. We have Lehigh Valley. I just got your title 10 seconds ago. Lehigh Valley Publishing.
Oh, Valley Social.
Valley Social Publisher.
Yep, and I'm an event coordinator.
And Awesome Fest events coordinator, Natasha Pellick.
Nice to see you.
We have Terry Bomar, Allentown Throwdown Basketball Tournament. He's going to be orchestrating the Divas Bracket. That's coming up on July 13th through the 15th. And here representing the A-Town Throwdown Boys Division, which will be the 5th through that weekend, the 8th, Mr. Terry Moser.
And it's Tom Moser.
Tom Moser. I'm sorry. And I want to get this right because your cousin, Gabe, his name has been mispronounced on a national scale. He was just drafted out of Parkland High School. We have a big Parkland theme tonight here.
Yeah, I noticed, that's unfortunate, but good for Gabe. Yeah, Gabe was just drafted. He's been pitching up in Single A Rookie League for a couple weeks now, and it is my cousin. It's pronounced Moser, but we don't. It's no big deal.
At least I got the Moser right.
You got it.
Sorry about that. Tom, Terry, Natasha, and Keith. So let's get right to this event. Natasha, we'll start with you, and then we'll get to the sports end of it because this used to be called Sports Fest. And it is now being called the Awesome Fest.
Awesome Fest.
Taking on a whole big, in addition to basketball, it's becoming much bigger. There's culture, there's arts, there's entertainment, there's music, there's food. So maybe we'll start with you and tell us a little bit about the non-sports aspects of Awesome Fest.
So we're actually going to kick off opening night on the Arts Walk in downtown Allentown with a huge show that is actually coming in from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple people that came out of the Lehigh Valley that became really famous. One, as I mentioned earlier to you, we have The Rock. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Bart Cooper, who is this epic artist. And so what we're kind of theming it with, Awesome Fest, is that element of arts and athletics, which go really nicely together. And so everyone's welcome to join us. Arts Walk is pretty easy to find. It's right across the street from Queen City Barbecue. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be next Thursday. And that's going to lead in. It's going to be the opening night for Awesome Fest, which is going to take place down on Cedar Beach.
Yeah. So as far as, I know you have some pictures here that you brought in. We can zoom in on this, and maybe you can tell a little bit about exactly what people can see there, too, because there's some great aspects to this too, that you want to let people know about.
Yeah, so in the center there, that is Mr. Bart Cooper, who's going to be flying in. He is from the area. On either side, he has a boxing theme. What we're going to be showing at this gallery opening is his Purple Series. So we have Andy Warhol, that's dressed as a boxer, and then we have Basquiat, who's also dressed like a boxer. And I think he was inspired by one of the people that collect his art is Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Rihanna is also another big collector of his work as well. So I'm excited to be able to present Bart Cooper's work alongside the athletics of Awesome Fest.
Yeah. Now, Terry, first we'll start with your background because this is your first time on the show, too.
Yeah. Yes,
and,
it is.
Tell us a little bit about your background and then how you became a part of Awesome Fest.
Well, I currently coach at Lackawanna College in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I've learned about Awesome Fest, which was formerly known as Sports Fest. I used to be a high school coach in the area. At one time, I moved to Allentown, and I coached at Deerhoff High School for girls basketball. And one of the tournaments, you know, that was one of the main tournaments that we would participate in. So I got that exposure from, you know, by being in that tournament. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from East Charlottesburg in the Pocono area, and I had opportunity to coach where I went to high school at East Charlottesburg North for girls basketball. And one of the things I did with our team is to bring them down to this, you know, these tournaments that we have down in the Allentown area, the Lehigh Valley area. And it's special to have been a coach in participating in those things and now to help. Yeah. You know, to help direct it and help, you know, market this thing and make it as big as we can.
And we were talking before the show, too, that you had quite a high coming from East Stroudsburg North to come down here. But as you and a lot of other people that come from even further away have found out from different states, this tournament is worth it to come down and have this level of competition.
Correct. This is where it's at, you know, especially from East Stroudsburg. I mean, we don't have that type of atmosphere up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we want to get better, and we at the time, you know, this was where we wanted to be. The exposure, you know, there's college coaches down there, there's people, that you know, there's festivals, and it brings everybody in, and it gets everybody involved. And when I started to bring those kids from that area down, I mean, it was like a whole new world they stepped into when it came to basketball. So.
Well, first of all, I'm speechless because I thought I was going to be sitting inside of Tumay, who will be on later, I assume. And I'm sitting inside of a lovely
young lady here. He's directing here.
I mean, I'm just like speechless. I've never gone this deep into the show without saying a word, have I?
It's very refreshing, actually.
But anyway, you brought a new element into this thing. I want to go back to you, and we'll get to the hoops with Tommy later.
Tom, we won't get to you at all now.
That's fine. Yeah. Cool. You brought a new element of class and grace into this thing. Awesome.
Thank you.
And how did you get involved in this thing?
Well, I mean, this is the family circuit. Actually, when I was going to Parkland.
Oh, there it is again. Here's the number of Parkland references
I was
on the show.
I was in the Trojan pack, and Tim Mascoy was one of my favorite athletes. I was actually on the track and field team with him. And then I found out that Bart Cooper, who we're going to be featuring, he's in the family. So like, everyone feels like, you know, it's like a family circuit. So I'm happy to welcome Bart from L.A., but he's also, you know, he's originally from here. And so I also feel very motivated, having been in the luxury space with Valley Social Magazine and also spending a lot of time in New York. This is like the perfect combination. There's so many great athletes in the Lehigh Valley, and to be able to highlight that with my elements of being able to really light that field up, I'm happy to shine
I think it's terrific.
Shine a light.
Thank you. We constantly have to reinvent ourselves. I mean, this event has had a great run as like a mini Olympics, if you will, the Sports Fest concept of having tennis here and flag football there and what, CrossFit
fencing
and all this roller hockey, all this stuff. But I think, you know, it ran its course, and now we're adapting to maybe bringing in new elements, and I think it's your addition is going to be outstanding. And I think it's going to be, and I'm sure Tumay had a little something to do with you coming aboard, right?
Of course. It was like a word of mouth. He's like, I need to bring in Natasha, and I'm here.
You might have been there. You know, when Tim was a senior in high school, Mr. Massacoy, he played a pimp at the Mr. Park. Do you remember that?
I was in Mr. Parkland.
I was a judge.
You were. You might have seen me.
Okay. That's another life. So this is going to be great. And your event is going to be on Thursday night.
It's going to be Thursday night, right across from Queen City, in the Arts Walk, and we are going to blast it open.
Working downtown, it's a whole new downtown, so it's exciting down there. A lot of energy, a lot of excitement, especially in the summertime here in downtown Allentown.
Yeah, there's a nice breeze that goes through that Arts Walk, too. Mm-hmm. So, but everybody has to make sure you dress to impress. You know, that's
the
name
of the game.
Well,
that leaves Keith
out.
I'm the one with the I can wear a tie tonight. You didn't wear a tie.
It's for summer. It's the more relaxed format.
Okay.
But yeah,
I didn't get that memo.
Awesome Fest is going to have a lot of different flavor. It's going to have a lot of different West African flavor as well as Caribbean. You're going to be able to smell the Jamaican jerk that they make in those big smokers. Yeah. And, you know, that's going to draw a big crowd, and everyone's going to have a great time.
Tom, I don't think this is a big secret, but as Terry had already alluded to, this event has gotten so big that it's not just everyone from the Lehigh Valley wants to be a part of it, but you can bring in people from outside the area. And Keith may not be able to say this, but I think it's the best summer basketball tournament. You have to be politically correct.
I have to be politically
correct. But your format is by far better than the other ones, with all due respect.
We like it. You know, kind of like Terry, I was part of it coaching for many, many years, and once I got out of coaching for a little bit, and I got the opportunity to come back and be a part of it with Tumay and Randy, you know, I couldn't turn it down because, like Terry said, everybody wants to be a part of it. Yeah. So it was, as Keith said, part of Sports Fest, and now it's changed into Awesome Fest. Everything that Tumay does is awesome. Yeah. So we're going in a little bit different direction here with the overall format, but, you know, wait until you see the crowds that flock down there to Cedar Beach next weekend in Center City, downtown Allentown, to start off on Thursday. And, yeah, I mean, everybody wants to be a part part of it. It's just like Keith writes about it all the time in the paper. It's just like a reunion. You get a chance to see everybody, all the who's who of people within the community. It's just a great event.
And I do like the fact that there's a gap now. We had the tournament, the other tournament this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have the 4th of July holiday coming up, and then we get right into another tournament. Yeah. I think it's going to be, you know, people.
Yeah, back to back is a little tougher.
Yeah, yeah. But I think there's going to be renewed energy, and everybody could take a break, get away from Cedar Beach. How many years did I spend out there spending 9 out of 12 out there?
Yeah.
This is going to give me a little break and recharge a lot of batteries, I think.
I agree.
I think the hoops is going to be fantastic. I think.
Yeah. One thing that helps this year is that it's not in a live period. That's been a big issue lately. Get out of the live period, which means some of the individual players aren't there. Maybe they come back late on Sunday, but this time we're expecting everybody to be there right from the start. So should add to the quality of the tournament a little bit as well.
Could you talk about what are some of the early round matchups? I know we're going to talk about some of the teams and some of the big storylines to watch this weekend, but what are some of the early matchups to watch on Thursday night?
So we have 12 pools of four teams. We take the 12 local bigger schools that represented the former East Penn Conference. They would each get put in a pool, and then we pretty much break it down from there. Just to be fair, so we don't have a pool with four local teams. Most pools will have two local teams and then a team from maybe Philadelphia, a team from New Jersey, a team from Harrisburg area, so they're kind of split up that way. And basically, we'll find out as we get on. Each team will play a game either Thursday or Friday, and then they'll play two games in the pool on Saturday, and that'll determine your pool winner. So we're constantly changing the pools just to make sure everything's fair and balanced. So I'm not sure that we have our pool set yet. We have our teams. The pools we're going to release real soon.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation talking about the Allentown, the A-Town Throwdown part of Awesome Fest. And you're the event coordinator from the arts aspect of it.
As of today.
Yes. Breaking news here. What would you rather talk about? We'll do that after the break. All right. We're going to continue the basketball conversation and talk about this event overall coming up in much more detail after the break. But right now, time to let you in on our trivia question tonight and give you a shot at winning tonight's prize. It is NBA related. Boston Celtics have had four different players win the NBA's MVP award since 1956. Can you name all four of those players? Two of them should be slam dunks. One of them relatively easy. The other one might give people some trouble. So try to answer that without looking up if you can. Again, the Boston Celtics have had four different players win the MVP award since it started in 1956. We want you to name all four players. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music. Pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're talking about the A-Town Throwdown, part of the Awesome Fest event to replace Sports Fest this year. That'll be starting next weekend and then continuing the following weekend with the girls basketball tournament. Our special guests are Tom Moser, Terry Bomar, Natasha Pellick.
That's it.
And Keith Groller joining myself. Her title, by the way, Valley Social Publisher.
Boom.
See, Tume gave a different title, and it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not your title. Terry, I wanted to talk about the girls' team coming up. Again, that's going to be July 13th through 15th. You haven't set the individual opening round matchups, but what are the teams? Because I guess you're still taking some teams that might be considered?
Yeah, we're still in the process of accepting some teams and some registrations. We have, you know, a lot of our local teams, you know, Whitehall, Parkland, Nazareth, Becca, Emmaus. Then you have some even from my area. East Charlesburg North is in it. We've got Lower Marion from outside of Philadelphia coming. So it should be very special. Right now we're up to about like 16 to 18 teams. You know, especially in our varsity bracket. But what makes it really special too is that, you know, it's going to be held on its own platform. It's going to be held at Percy Rue Park. Mm-hmm. So it has its own stage, its own platform for girls basketball. You know, me being a girls basketball, women's basketball coach, you know, that says something that, you know, we're taking the time to pay attention to girls' sports and giving them their own platform and their own stage, you know, and that's what we're doing with Awesome Fest and A-Town Throwdown for the Divas Tournament.
So. Now, this show gets seen in other areas, too. So how would if a coach is watching, they want to participate in this event, you're still taking teams, who would they contact?
They would contact me. Do I just give out my... I don't know.
You can email me, and then I'll pass along. But rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Yeah.
Well, this is a good move, and Terry, I understand. You know, I know that you didn't. Not ideal to break it apart because it was such a great atmosphere having the boys and the girls together. But you had to do it because it is a live period this coming weekend.
Yes.
The weekend of the boys. The holiday weekend is a live period, and you were going to lose so many of the marquee girls. And now most of them should be back by that other weekend, right?
Yeah, in fact, Loa Marion, that was one of the concerns mm-hmm. that they had at first, thinking that it was going to be in that live period. And when they heard that it wasn't, you know, that helped. And it helps, you know, and having that time, even as a coach, you know, I remember as a coach, it was very difficult to go back-to-back, especially coming from East Stroudsburg or the Poconos and trying to be in all the tournaments that were held down in Allentown when they were right after each other, you know, parents and trying to get money together and parents together and rides, you know. So having that break, having that time, 4th of July, get your cookout on and, you know, being able to come back and participate in some basketball, it makes it a lot easier, so... We're expecting a lot of people.
Well, you're having, to me, still the team that beat is Bethlehem Catholic, and they're in your tournament, right?
That is
and
correct.
And I know that they didn't go very far, a little bit of an upset there, obviously, in the 4A tournament this past year, but I think they're going to come back with a vengeance, and Talia Medina is ready for another breakout year. She's already had some breakout years, but I think she's ready for another phenomenal season. This will be her junior year, right?
Yeah, man, she's great. I've actually known Coach Medina and his daughter for a long time, and you know, she's even in the fifth grade, man, she's been special. She's just got it. She's got some tools to work
with. And Coach Medina is pretty special, too. You talk about awesome. He likes to use that word a little bit, awesome. And he exudes awesomeness. Yeah. So he's going to be a lot of fun to deal with in that tournament.
Yeah. Oh, you can't count, you know, Nazareth out.
Well, Nazareth just won the other tournament, right? So.
And the Holy Name tournament, they went 9-0 in that. Yeah. So they're on a roll.
Yeah.
Tom, how about as far as the Lehigh Valley teams? What are some of the more interesting matchups you think and teams to keep an eye on?
Well, Mayans looks real good so far this summer. They have some players who have kind of had some breakout summers, I guess. Drew Swedberg, Mark Swedberg.
43 points against Glens Falls this past weekend.
Yeah, he kind of upstaged the potential Duke recruits, so anytime you can do that. Mr. Mark Swedberg. And then they still have Sable back, the 6'9 guy. He's just a monster.
And the key addition is Parvell.
Parvell from Whitehall, correct. Becca, of course, you mentioned them with the girls, Keith, but they still have Ryan Young's brother, Kyle, and Justin Paz, and some other pieces, too. So Becca and Emmaus, probably the cream of the crop in the area. Look out for maybe Nazareth and Easton. They have some pieces, too, that I think they might surprise.
Look out for the guy I call the Sultan of Summer. Mr. Joe Stellato.
Well.
All due respect that I'm told that I'm not liked. Well, that's a shock. I'm not liked in Bethlehem Township very much by one of the parents. I was told that this past weekend. You can guess which parents.
That's because you're anti-freedom all the time. Yeah. You should promote freedom more.
But I told them, I will give you love when you win something.
Sure.
They do not win when it matters the most. Maybe this will change. They have a lot of young talent. Muniz is good.
Well, Muniz can play, and the twins are dynamite. They've improved a lot. They're awesome talents. And I wouldn't count them out. They're going to be around, and they have two more years with that group. So maybe they can get a trophy eventually for my buddy Joe.
And he's a great fit for
that
school.
Joe's the best.
You talk about excitement and passion and all that.
Nobody cares more than Joe about.
He loves that school, and they'll they need him at Freedom. He brings. I mean, he runs the pep rallies and runs fundraisers and. But I was kidding around with Joe a little bit. But they had a good showing this past week, and maybe they can build on it in your tournament.
And correct me if I'm wrong, too. Keith, you were out there all last weekend. Emmaus and Becca, they all can win in different ways. They got size. They have Szabo versus Kyle Young, which is a great matchup. Emmaus has some guards. I don't know if up to the level of Justin Paz, but they have some very good guards. Mm-hmm. And Becca has some people they can bring off the bench, too. So both of those teams are evenly matched, and it's going to be interesting to see if they play, when they play each other, probably in the playoffs, in addition to even if they're not playing during the regular season. Right. Those are going to be some really fun matchups to watch those two teams.
Yeah, well, and the thing of it is, and this is what summer's for. I mean, you want to win, you want to play well, you want to play as many games as possible, enjoy the atmosphere down here at the park. But one of the other things about it is you get to see who's ready to step up. Guys graduate, guys are gone. Yeah. Ryan Young's gone from Becca. Artis is gone from Emmaus. So new guys are going to have to step up for those teams. And then, like I just said a minute ago, that's what happened with Swedberg. You score 43 points in an outdoor game, you're doing some serious work because that's not easy. And so, you know, that's what Coach Yoder and Emmaus and every other coach is looking for, guys to step up and be that next guy that they can look to carry the team to some wins. So
aside from the top two teams, you have Emmaus and Beck on the boys' side, Becca and Nazareth on the girls' side. Who are the next kind of tiers to watch? Because I think there's a lot of teams that could be improved. They have a lot of younger players, quite a few teams that didn't do as well last year, had really good JV programs. Who are some of those other teams that would be right behind those four teams?
I'll give you a team that, that's been playing a lot of hoops this summer. Tume and I have seen it firsthand. Ken Termini and Palmerton, the Blue Bombers. Yeah. They have some really good talent coming back for the Colonial League, and I think they're a playoff team in that league for sure. You know, like you said, Freedom showed well last weekend. I think, you know, there's a bunch of other teams.
I think Northampton is still going to be decent. Obviously, they're going to miss those two great guards.
It's going to be tough for them.
Corey Weisenberger and Aiden Elwood, but Gula seems like he's having a pretty
Gula
good
looks real good.
I'm not expecting them to be as good as they were. I don't think Central Catholic's going to be as good as they were. Jalen Green, we'll see, coming from Caddy over to Central. You know, I think he's going to be a positive addition, but it's going to be an assimilation process that's going to go on with him, not only to the team, but even to the league.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you come, no offense, but you come from the Colonial League to the East Penn, and it's just a step up in competition. So, you know, but obviously, you know, Green's got some varsity experience, and that'll help Central. They lost a lot of guys. But that's the thing. There's a lot of teams that lost a lot of players, and so there's some spots there to be taken in the upper echelon if you really think about it. So let's see who wants to be awesome in next weekend.
And I hate to bring up this school, but I think Parkland's going to be back.
Parkland has some players. Yeah. They have some size.
Natalie likes them, by the way. Natasha, excuse me, likes them for next year, too.
Well, yes.
That's not a surprise.
Were you a member of the dance team? That's my favorite dance team.
I think I, as far as I can remember, I might have started it.
You might have started the dance team.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Kegger Award-winning dance team for like 10 times.
I noticed Kegger, yeah. We need to break that monopoly up here. Somebody else needs to get that award.
Central Catholic's coming on strong in Emmaus. There's a few others out there.
Right. Watching you girls out there.
You interrupted Tom, by the way.
I apologize. I apologize.
I've thrown enough thoughts out there. I didn't let Terry get into his other squads here.
You do good. I actually had a chance to watch Parkland's girls team, who has new coach.
Ed Olson.
They got some height. They have some depth, it looks like. You know, they could be someone, you know, who could come on strong in the season. I'd be wrong if I did not mention William Allen's girls team. They did make it.
Oh, great year last year.
Yeah. You know, sometimes that what they've accomplished last season kind of gets overlooked sometimes.
It does.
I mean, they're in a tough league, and they play a tough schedule, and they went kind of far, you know, with what they had after losing 2,000-point scorers.
Why don't they get more attention? Because they had a great year. They were right there with Easton and Nazareth and Freedom that had great years. And the boys' team gets lots of publicity. Why doesn't the girls' team seem to draw out big crowds and get a lot of hype?
They're overshadowed by the boys, I think.
That's a good point.
Well, it didn't work that way for Becca. I mean, Becca had, you know, I think equal crowds. It wasn't a great crowd for the boys, but, I mean, they had almost as many people for the girls' games as boys' games.
I think if the more Coach Broyles can keep it consistent with the success, I think it'll show up. Yeah. He's just, you know, that has to keep happening for a while.
Remember, Allen did win a state title. And I was old enough to have covered that team back in 81.
Early 80s.
81. I was there in Hershey the night they won it. So my time, Allen hasn't won a, you know, certainly my career, that Allen hasn't won a boys championship. I have to go back to 1951. But the girls, the chicks, we used to call them back in the day when it was politically okay. Yeah. Maybe not correct,
don't
but
do
okay.
That
we don't do that anymore. We don't call the female Allen teams chicks anymore. Yeah.
All right, we're going to have a lot more basketball talk coming up in just a few minutes. We also have that trivia question out there. The Boston Celtics have four different players to win MVP titles. We want you to name all four of those players. Right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Groller's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about everything and anything on his sports mind. Keith?
Okay, well, I forgot I have that segment. But anyway, it's been so long. But here's the deal. Look at
what is in this thing today?
I haven't had a sip of it yet. Once upon a time, I thought high school sports would be sponsored by local businesses. Because look at high school sports, the budgets are always under siege. And they always get trimmed, I'm told. And I thought one at point in time we'd be calling Allen's teams the Yakko's Canaries, or maybe Staley's Huskies for the East Siders, or I don't know what's the Spark Parking, the Jandal Trojans, or whatever. But it seems like we've got a good solution here. We have these wonderful medical health-oriented businesses, Lehigh Valley Health Network, Coordinated Health, St. Luke's, they're all excellent organizations, and they've all got involved deeply in the high school scene. I know that Parkland, Nazareth, Emmaus are all among those schools that have signed contracts. And if you're reading that in the paper and you're like, what's going on? Just think of it this way. It is saving high school sports, in my opinion, because these contracts, which are going to provide a lot of great facilities, uniforms, equipment, so on and so forth, they're actually saving the taxpayer, they're saving the budgets. So it wasn't exactly how I once envisioned it, that high school sports would become sponsored, but it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, and we're having, thank goodness, we have these three wonderful health organizations. I'm not picking a favorite. They're all great, and I'm very, very happy that they're involved in high school sports.
All right, let's go right to the phone lines. We're joined by a special guest on the phone line now, Jake Fisher, the outstanding reporter and producer for Sports Illustrated and SI Now, is joining us with some breaking news and some thoughts about the NBA offseason overall. Jake, welcome to Sports Talk this evening.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You do a great job. We always enjoy following your work on SI. And you tweeted out.
Appreciate that.
You tweeted out some great, some very exciting news on a national scale a few hours ago, in fact. And I'll just read what you have. You have the more details on SI.com. But the Sixers, while they haven't made a formal trade offer to San Antonio, they are discussing options of several players that the Spurs would prefer for a Kawhi Leonard trade. What's the latest on that, and what are you hearing about that possible deal right now?
So nothing has changed since that report this afternoon, but the information from there was, I don't want to tap my own self on the back here, but it's definitely the most comprehensive look into the Sixers' internal side of things when it comes to the Kawhi Leonard discussions. And you know what we learned today and what we reported is that while Philadelphia has not contacted San Antonio with a formal trade offer, and I don't really think any team really in the league has done so, they have sent ownership several potential trade packages following preliminary discussions with the Spurs and learning which players on the Sixers roster that San Antonio has interest in order to get together a potential package here when the time does come to offer the Spurs, you know, their best offer for Kawhi.
Now, is it a foregone conclusion if the Sixers would get Kawhi? A lot of people would like him and LeBron James, but I don't know if that's feasible given the cap space and everything. Obviously, the Sixers would have more wheeling and dealing to do, but is it possible they would get both, or do you think if they would make the trade for Leonard that would be it as far as big names?
I think any team that acquires Kawhi Leonard here, if it does happen before LeBron signs in free agency, I think any team that does that will have a massive advantage in terms of wooing LeBron for his services. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of this trade discussion pop up this week, and especially today, being that LeBron has an opt-in date for his contract tomorrow. I don't know the exact time, but it's sometime on the 29th. And the Spurs recognize that, you know, their trading partners are definitely, you know, scrambling to position themselves in the best possible spot to pitch LeBron. And a team with Kawhi Leonard on its roster certainly would have a much added advantage versus its competitors. So I think that's exactly why we're seeing an increase in activity here. And if the Sixers were able to land Kawhi via trade, throw in that factor, throw in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, throw in his relationship with Brett Brown from their days together in San Antonio, and I think the Sixers would have a much more compelling pitch for LeBron and for agency than they would today without Kawhi Leonard on their team.
If Leonard isn't involved, can you tell me where you think LeBron is going to wind up? It's the million-dollar question. I know that. It's probably going to be a mystery to the very end, build the suspense, build the drama like he always does. But your thoughts on where he's eventually going to land?
I think it's down to, as we currently stand, I think it's down to L.A. and Cleveland. It's just, there's been so much discussion about LeBron in Los Angeles that to a certain point where there's smoke, there has to be a little bit of fire. And, you know, there's been rumors throughout league circles dating back to last summer that LeBron would be looking to move to Los Angeles. And he's got a couple of houses there. Obviously, his children are, you know, rising basketball stars in their own right. And Los Angeles, in that media market, is look at what happened with the Ball family and how Lonzo Ball kind of soared to prominence as a draft prospect, being based in Los Angeles and so close to the Lakers. You know, I think that factor being that his kids are, you know, soon to be on the elite high school basketball circuit, I think also plays a big role in where he's going to be. So, to me right now, if he doesn't go back to Cleveland, I would guess he ends up in L.A.
Jake, I wanted to ask you about a move that the Wizards made less than 48 hours ago. No surprise they get rid of their starting center, Marcin Gortat, who seemed to kind of wear out his welcome. They already had a couple centers, and they wanted more of a stretch guy up front, and he wasn't willing to adjust his shot. But he goes out. They bring in Austin Rivers. They get some much-needed punch off the bench, which is something the Wizards really needed. But they also drafted Troy Brown, the Oregon freshman. How does Rivers and Brown and Beal and John Wall how do they all fix together? Was Brown more of a project? And if he's a project, do you think they could have got someone with a higher ceiling?
Yeah, the Wizards were trying to shop for Ty all throughout the draft. And, you know, he is an expired contract, which is, I think, you know, something that they were trying to use as leverage to move him. But obviously, in doing so, they got a backup point guard, which the Wizards have pretty desperately needed, you know, for a couple of seasons now. They've treaded through, you know, Shelvin Mack and Trey Burke and Brandon Jennings, and they really have yet to find a true answer there that's been able to provide consistent backup minutes to Wall. So I think that's, you know, obviously, that's an obvious, clear motivation for this specific trade. And you're right, it leaves them with a pretty wing-dependent rotation. And with Brown is someone who a lot of people around the league were very high on as a prospect. He's a player who, I think, kind of, to bring it to the Philly perspective, he kind of reminds me a bit of Thad Young, where he's a B to a B-plus at virtually every skill across the board. But he's not really elite quite yet at any real aspect, whether that be shooting, dribbling, passing, creating for other teammates. He is a versatile defender, which I think they'll be able to use him in multiple switching lineups, kind of like they have with Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre. But I think this might be potentially clearing the deck for the Wizards to also make a run at DeMarcus Cousins, being that he's long been linked as someone that John Wall want to play with. Obviously, they started together at Kentucky, and he is a free agent right now. So I mean, Yan Mahimi is not a starting center in the NBA for a team that's looking to compete like the Wizards are. So I would, just as this trade many people viewed as a precursor to a DeAndre Jordan deal for Los Angeles, I think that the Wizards might not be done dealing as well.
What are your thoughts on some of the other draft choices for teams in our coverage area? Obviously, the Sixers were active. Everyone got excited because they draft the kid out of Villanova and then they ship him away for Zaire Smith. Mm-hmm. They draft another nice shooter later in the draft, too. The Knicks also kind of made a curious move with Kevin Knox. There was a lot of great small forwards available at that spot. Knox, in some preseason or pre-draft mock drafts, he wasn't rated as high as some of the others they passed on. So what are your thoughts on the Sixers, the Celtics, and the Knicks, some of the other teams? Did anyone really advance their cause in the East?
I actually like the Kevin Knox pick. Mm-hmm. When you compare him to the top wings in the draft, you know, it was Michael Porter and Mikal Bridges and Miles Bridges. Taking Porter out of the equation due to his, you know, pretty suboptimal health reports. Kevin Knox was, you know, clearly the younger prospect when it comes to both Bridges, Miles, and Mikal. And he's just as long as them, if not longer than Miles. He's got, you know, a shooting stroke that should project out well to the NBA three-point line. He's got a little bit of ability to carry off the bounce. I like that pick for the Knicks. For the Sixers, you know, trading Mikal for Zaire Smith, I think, was more about acquiring this 2021 Miami Heat pick that is completely unprotected that they're going to potentially use here in efforts to trade for Kawhi Leonard. And Brett Brown said it Thursday night of the draft that that pick could be the missing piece that really gets, you know, the big fish, the big star that the Sixers have been, you know, really positioning themselves for, in addition to their draft picks that have yielded guys like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. So Zaire Smith to them is someone who was right on board with Mikal Bridges. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think he's much more of a product as a shooter than the Sixers seem to believe. But when you throw in that 2021 selection, I think it was a pretty good value for them.
What do the Sixers do if they can't get LeBron, if they can't get Leonard? Where would you go if you're Mr. Brown, and what options are there that really will take this team to the next step? It was a great season, a breakthrough season, obviously. They win a playoff series, get to the second round. Your thoughts on where they need to go to maybe go a little bit further, maybe contend for that Eastern Championship?
I think they will continue to maintain flexibility if they can't land one of these big stars. And that's been kind of like an ethos of that front office, even dating back to the Sam Hinkie era. I think that's continued on. The team is not going to mortgage any future flexibility in terms of trying to expedite this winning process. So I think what we'll see is going to be similar to last year. You know, a couple of one-year deals or some front-loaded contracts that will help them, you know, compete and improve in the near term, but also won't damage their long-term, you know, opportunities to get back into free agency again. Because next summer is a free agent class that is just as loaded as this one. All three of these guys, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and LeBron, could easily all be back on the market again in a year from now if they sign, you know, the 1+1, you know, 2-year contracts with a player option in the second year. And Klay Thompson will be available, and Jimmy Butler will be available, and there's going to be more guys to come too. So I think that if the Sixers do strike out with this big three of free agents, I think they'll still be in position next year to be right back in those discussions again next summer.
Jake, we appreciate you joining us. Before we let you go, Jake Fisher, our special guest on the phone lines from SI Now, Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake L. Fisher. Has some breaking news all the time, some great stories there. Jake, you know, even before the draft, I've been feeling this last NBA season that the NBA is turning into a league of 8 to 10 great teams, and everyone else is just trying to tank. And forget the regular season. It's about those 8 teams that you get them down to 4, and then hopefully you have a nice matchup. It's entertaining to watch. Am I wrong? I just can't help but thinking if LeBron and Leonard, if they end up with the Sixers, if they both go to the Lakers or whatever, it's turning like into a rotisserie league, that it's just kind of like the major haves and a whole lot of have-nots. Is there anything on the horizon that would kind of sway me a different way, or do you hear other people kind of expressing a concern about the regular season in particular for the NBA?
Yeah, I understand the concern, but I think you know, all the teams at the bottom of the barrel right now have reasons for optimism. I mean, look at the Phoenix Suns. They just added DeAndre Ayton and a player in Mikal Bridges that they're very high on to match with Devin Booker and another top five pick from last year in Josh Jackson. And, you know, they're going to be active in free agency, and it's offseason is trying to add some veteran pieces to complement that young core, just like Philly did a year ago. And, you know, going down the line, I mean, the Sacramento Kings feel like they're building a culture with, you know, two top five picks in De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley, and there's other young pieces around them that they like, with Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Scalabissiere and Harry Giles, who sat out last season with an injury. And, you know, the Mavericks were pretty dreadful this year, and they've struggled to kind of position themselves for a post-Dirk Nowitzki era. But they just added Luka Doncic, who many people view was the number one pick in this draft class. And you could pair him with Dennis Smith Jr. And, you know, Harrison Barnes is a stable piece they have in their front court. And you can kind of keep going down the line with, you know, the Grizzlies were pretty terrible, but Mike Conley and Marc Gasol will be healthy, and they have Jaren Jackson Jr., and, you know, the Magic haven't been good, dating back to the same kind of trade that derailed the Sixers, that 2012 Andrew Bynum trade is when the Magic lost Dwight Howard. But now they have, you know, two really solid frontcourt prospects in Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba that might end up being one of the most formidable front lines in the league. So all these young teams, I think, really do have tangible pieces to build around, and they can see, you know, a finish line of competition in the very near future.
All right. Very good. Thanks again for joining us tonight, and continued success with your outstanding coverage at SI.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Jake Fisher, our special guest, joining us on the phone lines. More basketball talk when we return. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Joining Keith Groller and myself, we have Natasha Pellick, Awesome Fest event coordinator. She doesn't like that title, so Valley Social Publisher is her preferred title. Terry Bomar, who's going to be running the women's division of the A-Town Throwdown, the Divas round. That'll be July 13th through the 15th. And then the starting July 5th, Tom Moser, part of the boys division of the A-Town Throwdown. Natasha, you have a call out for some of the players to do some outstanding things with some extra incentive too, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a luxury magazine that I'm now publishing, and I'm looking for star players. I'm looking for shining, bright lights of talent. So show yourself.
Future stars.
Future stars, yeah.
Well, Saquon Barkley's making it pretty nice.
Yeah.
His name for himself.
He's not a future star. He's already a star. Yeah. He's already a star.
But, no, this is a great magazine, and I think that's an extra incentive for the guys.
I think they should have a sports writing column, too.
I think we should have a sports writing column.
I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
But this is a great publication, and where can people get this?
I'm actually in the process of a relaunch.
Okay.
So they are going to be able to find it. We are going to put them in the different arenas and the different VIP areas and different pinpointed places.
Will there be a subscription opportunity?
Yep, there's going to be a subscription opportunity. They can go to valleysocialmag.com and they can start the process of subscribing, and then the announcements will be made when we are ready.
What are you going to have besides very nice looking pictures in there?
We're deepening the content. Mm-hmm. It's not going to. I mean, of course, there's going to be different events.
And it's going to be geared to the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, different people that are shining out of Lehigh Valley, but also I'm extending it onto the Hudson Valley and different drives you can go on, and different places that we can visit, vineyards and different places.
I love that. I'm always looking for place to take the wife for dinner. So, I mean, if you have some good restaurant suggestions in there, I'm always looking for that.
That's what we got going on. Maybe you can be a taste tester.
Oh, I'll get volunteer for that.
Why do we keep talking about food on this sports program? Every week we talk about food somehow. Guys, I want to get your thoughts on some underrated teams to watch this weekend for the boys and then next weekend for the girls. Any under-the-radar teams?
Under the radar, I mentioned them, Nazareth. from the area, outside of the area. I think we have Chambersburg, our defending champ, bringing a couple of their studs back from last year. Also, Hershey is coming into the area. So they're always a good team from around District 3. Also, Central Dauphin East, Donnie Ross. They always
He loves coming up.
They like coming up here, and it's a great experience for their kids, and they're competitive every year. So look for some of those guys. And a couple Jersey teams, Wayne Hills and New Brunswick, Morris Hills. You never know what you're going to get out of those schools. So
how about Mr. Rob Moore in Constitution?
Well, Constitution and Reading are the two big names, I would say, from out of the area because they're both state champs. So I wouldn't really say they're under the radar. People would expect them to make some noise. So I think we'd see them around on Sunday.
Terry, I always like watching girls basketball, and I've said for the last couple of years, I think maybe we don't have the big stars like the Marciniak and Molineros that we had in previous generations, but there's a lot of balance among girls basketball programs right now, except for maybe Bethlehem Catholic, who dominated. But you look, we had four 4A teams advancing in the state tournament. I think some of the smaller schools like Notre Dame, they always put out good products. And I think there's still a lot of balance out there. So I don't think we have the golden era of girls basketball in terms of superstars, but the girls' games, I think, are very competitive when you take away, you know, one or two teams at the upper end and maybe a couple teams at the lower end. And they're very, very fun. They're very competitive games to watch overall.
And that's probably why it's going to be exciting to see, you know, what happens at our tournament for the Divas section because, you know, like Tom expressed, it's the same type of format with pool play and you know, and trying to fit pieces of where we should, how we're going to make it, you know, challenging and how we're going to make it competitive with these different teams. And, you know, and you know, yeah, you have your Nazareths or your Beckers, but, you know, it's still competitive enough where anything can happen when we get to Sunday.
When will your championship game be that Sunday night? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock, yes.
July the 15th.
Yes, July the 15th.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take one more break and be back with our final segments talking summertime basketball. Quick reminder, though, as we go to break, Keith, this was just confirmed. You don't even know about this. Our next and last Buffalo Wild Wing show of the summer will be featuring the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders with their Super Bowl pendants.
I just cleared my schedule. I wasn't going to be there, but I am now.
Yeah, you haven't been for the last one. So Eagles cheerleaders will be there. They don't have Super Bowl rings. They have Super Bowl pendants. They will be bringing those, and you can see them at our next Buffalo Wild Wings appearance. RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call will be live from the Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall, July 26th at 7 p.m. You do have to buy food there, and when you do, your money goes to charity. It's going to be donated to the Miller Keystone Blood Center. So if you want to see the Eagles cheerleaders and the Super Bowl pendants that they will have on display, come on out to Buffalo Wild Wings Thursday, July 26th at 7 p.m. on the Grape Street and Whitehall location. More information on our website, rcn.com/rcntv. And also log on to the website to see how you can bring a flyer along that'll help you raise money for a very worthwhile local charity. More sports talk. One more time, our trivia question for you to weigh in and try to win tonight's prize by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Tonight's question, when did Keith Groller make it through an entire sports talk show without bailing? Oh, no, wait, that was last one. The Boston Celtics have had four different players win MVP awards since 1956. We want you to name all four players. Please include your name and town when you submit by emailing us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Our final segment with our special guest, Terry Bomar, from the A-Town Throwdown, along with Tom Moser, the boys division of the A-Town Throwdown, Natasha Pellick, Valley Social Publisher, and also Awesome Fest event coordinator, and of course, Keith Groller and myself. I know you guys are active in social media and websites and so forth. You want to hit your websites one more time before we get to our Stone Cold Locks?
I'll let you do.
You can find anything you need to know about our tournament at the LVBR.com, Tume's website, LVBR, Lehigh Valley Basketball Rankings.com, also on Twitter at A-Town Throwdown.
Perfect.
All right. Same thing for the girls.
Same thing for the girls. Yeah. All right, Natasha, did you want to hit your hashtag and all your... she was Facebook Live-ing us a few minutes ago, too. So if you're following her or friends with her, you could have...
Yeah, definitely like my page on Facebook. It's Valley Social on Facebook. And when you come out next week, definitely be hashtagging A-Town Throwdown 2018. Throwdown 2018, and you can get in touch with me. It's natashapellick.com and also valleysocialmag.com.
Perfect. All right, it's Stone Cold Lock prediction time. This is where our guests guarantee something in the world of sports, or maybe even a little beyond the world of sports, comes true. Our Stone Cold Lock, again, we try to promote this, and we will, if you get it right, we'll bring it up on a future show. If not, we'll kindly dismiss it.
Unless, Keith, if you get it right,
I never give one.
It's always brought back up. Yeah.
I never get 13 years, I've never made a Stone Cold Lock. No one wants to see me make a Stone Cold Lock. Terry, we'll start with you. What's your Stone Cold Lock prediction? Any basketball or otherwise?
I got a couple. All right, let's start with LeBron, Lakers, Yankees, World Series.
Oh, okay.
And Toomey joins the Space Force with
yes.
I think he's going to be a floor director the way he's running.
Man, he's everywhere. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the Space Force.
All right, 1.5, I would think.
That was very good, Terry. I like that.
Tom, how about you? Stone Cold.
My first one, real quick, is that the Awesome Fest will be awesome, all around awesomeness. Okay. My second, and I'm far from a soccer expert, but I've been known to pick a winner or two in my day. So I'm going to say that Spain wins the World Cup.
That is Spain. So boring. Seriously.
It's not my sport.
I have a co-worker here keep
it's
putting it on the TV,
sport.
And I go in and I'm getting depressed because nothing happens.
It's not my favorite sport. But I've been known to pick a winner, so I'm going to tell you that Spain's going to win the World Cup.
Youth soccer is great up till high school. Beyond that, it's too long and too boring. Sorry.
Hey, no argument here, Chris. Yeah.
Natasha, how about you for a Stone Cold Lock?
I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to say one of us will win the lottery at some point.
I thought you were going to say Parkland wins.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, the Parkland
and the second one is Parkland wins.
All right. Keith, where's a juicy Stone Cold Lock? What are you going to be watching this
I will say that I will never have a lovelier person sitting inside of me on this set than Natasha.
Oh, you're looking
I like this guy.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I'm just happy we're here for an entire show. How about this?
I've never been speechless before, but I was speechless for the first 10 minutes of our show. No, I like, I tell you what, I like the Golden Hawks to win the girls. And I like Constitution or somebody outside the area is going to win the boys. And just be safe this 4th of July. Fireworks are legal here, but doesn't mean you know how to use them. Let's be safe and enjoy America's birthday on Wednesday.
How about a player to watch, too, this weekend? Who do you
speak player of? To watch? I want to see the continued growth of Mark Swedberg.
Nazareth has an up-and-comer. Zach Umar was injured last year. Big guy, 6'7", so let's take a look for him.
All right, so enjoy the A-Town Throwdown and the awesome fest. And, of course, we have the fireworks on RCN on July 4th. We'll be back next Thursday with another edition of Sports Talk, talking baseball on the program. For Keith Groller, I'm Chris Michael. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a wonderful Independence Day.